This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everyone joining us live here today. And also, if you're listening to this later, assalamu alaikum to you as well. So the talk for today, it's called Getting Into the Ramadan Mindset. Now, I intended this to be kind of like a little bit of a pep talk. So as the month of Ramadan approaches, you know, we're now days away from the month of Ramadan, trying to get into the spirit of the month of Ramadan, the mindset of the month of Ramadan. Now, before I get into that, I just want to say that, look, it is impossible, or it's going to be impossible, to get into the Ramadan mindset 100%. I say that because to get into the Ramadan mindset 100%, we have to be in the month of Ramadan. Because the month of Ramadan is a very special time. It is a Mubarak time. It is a month unlike other months of the year. So to feel what you feel in the month of Ramadan, outside of the month of Ramadan, is going to be difficult because of the blessings of the month of Ramadan. And Ramadan is just special in that way. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what makes the month of Ramadan special. But I want all of us, inshallah ta'ala, I don't want you to be too hard on yourself. And I know sometimes we start thinking about the month of Ramadan and we look at other people and we all have that friend on Facebook who counts down the days of Ramadan and everybody seems super excited and we think about our lives and we think about, you know, working or kids or whatever we have going on. And we're like, man, how is it going to go down this Ramadan? You know, I know the first week at least is always very difficult. And we may have some guilt and shame associated with those feelings. But like I said, I don't want you to be too hard on yourself because the month of Ramadan comes with its own blessings. And as we have witnessed in previous years, that no matter how difficult we believe the month will be, when the month arrives, we are able, بفضل الله تعالى, by the will and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make it through, not only to make it through the month of Ramadan, but to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. And if you want a clear example of that, then there's no clearer example than last year. When, you know, we were quarantined, even though we're still kind of quarantined, but, you know, COVID was new. There was a lot of anxiety about the month of Ramadan. You know, how are we going to spend the month of Ramadan? How is it going to be now that the masajid are closed or they have very little or limited attendance or capacity? How are we going to spend the month of Ramadan? Because we would associate this month with the masjid so much, which is alhamdulillah a good and a beautiful thing. But there was that anxiety of, okay, if we cannot go to the masjid, what will our Ramadan look like? And more importantly, what will it feel like? We were so used to spending the end of our day in the masjid. And I often say that, you know, the masjid is a place of comfort for us, especially in the month of Ramadan, because, you know, during the day, no matter how our fasting may have gone, and maybe we did fine, maybe we didn't do so fine, maybe we had a rough day, maybe we weren't able to pray all our prayers with the khushu' and concentration and presence of the heart that we wanted. Maybe we may have even delayed our prayer. May Allah protect us, right? But it happens, right? Maybe, you know, we were busy at work or whatever happened, you know, our prayers got delayed in the month of Ramadan and we felt guilty about that. We had that source of comfort that at the end of the day, we can go to the masjid. We can, you know, pray tarawih. We can be there with our brothers and sisters and feel that spirituality that maybe we were lacking during the day, you know, because we were busy and whatever else was going on. So to lose that source of comfort, to lose that kind of safety net led to a lot of anxiety. But what did we see last year? We saw that even though a lot of what we're used to was missing, we were unable to have access to what we're used to having access to, we were still able to benefit from the month of Ramadan. Not only were we able to benefit from the month of Ramadan, similar to previous years, and I mean in terms of like intensity of benefit or the amount of benefit, but we were able to benefit from the month of Ramadan in ways that we never imagined, that we never considered before. And I'll give you an example of that. The Taraweeh prayer, as I said, we're used to, you know, praying it in the masjid. That's just, you know, that's just what we're used to. And now we were forced to pray it at home. And a lot of people were questioning, and they're looking at their abilities. How much of the Quran can I recite? How is my recitation of the Quran? How is my pronunciation of the Quran? You know, how will I stand and pray myself? Or, you know, if it's the head of the household, like how will I lead my family in Taraweeh prayer, because they have these expectations from me. But we found that we were able to go through that process and come out better than what we started, because now we realize that we have a need to be able to take a certain level of responsibility for our faith. You know, a lot of times we put our faith on other people. You know, we will say, well, it's you know, the masjid, or it's the imam's responsibility to make me a good Muslim. May Allah protect our imams. Or it is our leaders, you know, their responsibility. Or someone may say, it's my parents, you know, they didn't teach me what's right, or they didn't show me, you know, what to do, or it is this or it is that. And in the end of the day, we are responsible for ourselves. Obviously, you know, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, have the taqwa of Allah, be conscious of Allah, be pious to the best of your ability. Allah tells us to the best of your ability. But we will be questioned about what we did with the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. We will not be questioned about other people's deeds. You know, what did they do? Why didn't they do this? And why didn't they do that? Everyone will be held accountable for their own deeds, but we will be held accountable for what Allah gave to us, the time that Allah gave, the abilities Allah gave, the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us, and how we use those abilities. You know, we have the famous hadith of take advantage of five before five, and that hadith really talks about, you know, all the blessings that Allah has given to us, youth before old age, for example. Those are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without a doubt, we'll be questioned about that. So now we were able to look internally and say, you know, I need to take responsibility for my own faith. I need to be able to take responsibility for my relationship with the Quran. And there are people who, for the first time last year, for the first time in their life, they were able, or they began the process of building a relationship with the Quran, improving their recitation, improving increasing their memorization of the Quran, trying to learn the meanings of the Quran, trying to understand the message of the Quran, trying to live the Quran, because now it became, you know, we couldn't put it on anyone else. It had to be just us. We are responsible for the Quran. And that, to me, especially in hindsight, it's a clear blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without a doubt, with hardship, Allah brings relief, and Allah brings ease, and Allah brings goodness even in the difficulty and the hardship that we go through. So without a doubt, this previous year where we felt hardship, yes, the Ramadan was difficult in many ways, but also there was a sense of relief and ease in our Ramadan as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability to adapt. And so likewise, you know, this Ramadan coming up, I know things are seemingly better. I don't know if you've gotten your vaccine yet, but now the vaccine rollout has started in Maryland. I believe that if you're 16 and older, you can now go and get your vaccine, and people are feeling a little bit more at ease. You know, people may start gathering more, whatever the consequences of that is, but we may feel a little bit less anxiety than last year, but still, there is still a sense of anxiety, which is there. But for us, just like the month of Ramadan, now, you know, we look at it being, you know, about a week out from the month of Ramadan, and that anxiety, and we have this worry. My point is, don't worry. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you are fasting for the sake of Allah, if you have the intention to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have the intention to accomplish the main goal of the month of Ramadan, which is to attain taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, kutiba alaykumus siyam, siyam has been prescribed upon you, it has been obligated upon you. كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم, just like it was prescribed on those who became before you. Why? لعلكم تتقون, so that perhaps you will attain taqwa, meaning that is our intention. Obedience of Allah, the worship of Allah, but also it is to get closer to Allah, it is to attain taqwa. So there's no reason for us to believe that if that is our intention, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave us. And our intentions and our efforts will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like last year. Just like alhamdulillah, last year Allah rewarded us with whatever we could do. You know, maybe we didn't do last year, we didn't do as much as we're used to doing, because as I said earlier, we're used to other people helping us out. We're used to Imam Jamil in the masjid, you know, reciting Taraweeh 20 rak'ahs for us. We're used to Qiyam in the masjid. And so we weren't able to rely upon them. But with whatever we were able to do, alhamdulillah, we are grateful for the last month of Ramadan. Likewise, even though there is anxiety, even though we are unsure about what this Ramadan will be like, we don't know exactly what it will be like, on a broader level, on a large scale level, on a communal level, but also on a personal level. And this is even apart from COVID and quarantine. On a personal level, how am I going to do in this Ramadan? We don't know. But we can expect good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as we are motivated to try our best. And subhanAllah, it is this motivation that would lead the companions and the early generations to make this famous dua, which I'm sure many of you have heard, in which they would say, Allahumma balighna Ramadan, oh Allah, allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. They would make this dua because, number one, they understood that Ramadan is not guaranteed, that we don't know for sure we're going to reach the month of Ramadan. And even now, since we're so close to the month of Ramadan, that we almost assume that we're going to be able to reach the month of Ramadan. Not only that, but sometimes we assume that not only are we going to reach the month of Ramadan, but we're going to complete the month of Ramadan, which the reality is we don't know. That is truly and completely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. And so we hope for that. We hope. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. So this is a dua, which this dua in itself prepares us for the month of Ramadan, because we're desperately asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're making dua. And when it comes to dua, you know, we know dua, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua is worship. In another narration, "Ad-du'a mukhu al-ibadah." Dua is like the essence, is the essence of worship. So as we are now, even before reaching the month of Ramadan, if you are making this dua, and I hope if you haven't made it before, you're making it now. And if you haven't thought about it before, if it hasn't been on your lips and your tongue, on your tongues before, then just now, just repeating it after me, Allahumma balighna Ramadan, you said it right now, means that automatically now you're in a state of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're putting yourself in the mindset that you're going to try and get the most out of the month of Ramadan, whatever ability that you have. Secondly, so first of all, you know, understanding that we are not certain in reaching the month of Ramadan, and that automatically prepares us for the month of Ramadan. But also, seeking something, we only ask for something that we only desperately ask for something that we truly want, that we truly desire, that we have a deep desire for. And that means that on some level, we understand that Ramadan is indeed very, very special. Ramadan is a month unlike any other month. And subhanAllah, there are so many evidences for this in the Quran, as you know, I recited the verse from Surah Al-Baqarah earlier, and in the authentic Sunnah tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even one of those hadith, subhanAllah, is enough for us to cry out with this dua, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. I'll share with you one of the more comprehensive hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu warallahu. This is narrated in Sunan al-Nasa'i and others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving the glad tidings of the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Atakum Ramadan." He said, "Ramadan, the month of Ramadan has come to you." And then Allah tells us of the blessings of the month of Ramadan. "Shahrun Mubarak." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is a blessed month." This meaning, this is not like the months that came before. This is a very special month. فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ صِيَامًا. Allah has made the fasting of this month obligatory upon you. There's no other month in the year which we fast all the days of it consecutively. This is something specific. All 30, 31, however many days, all of the days we fast consecutively. This only happens once a year in this month that we fast that much. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Tuftahu fihi abwaab as-sama," that in this month the gates or the doors to paradise are open. "Watughlaqu fihi abwaab al-jahim," and the doors to the hellfire are closed. Meaning this is the month in which Allah invites us to Jannah. Allah gives us the opportunity to seek a path to Jannah. And Allah puts obstacles in our way to the hellfire. Meaning Allah makes it difficult for us to go down a path that will lead to the hellfire in this month. This is a special blessing of this month that Allah makes it easy for us. Allah opens the gates. Allah opens the doors. Allah aids us and assists us and makes it easy for us in the month of Ramadan to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, the other things that may hinder us and harm us in our faith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith continues on and says, وَتُغَلُّ فِيهِ مَرَضَةَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ties up or chains up or locks down the shayateen, or those shayateen, like the powerful shayateen, or those influences on us that may keep us away from God consciousness or the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those influences are greatly reduced. And that is why we see people practicing Islam in the month of Ramadan in a way that they don't practice it outside of the month of Ramadan. And I'm not saying that, by the way, in a negative way. I mean, even the most quote-unquote practicing Muslim ups their game. Like whatever level someone is at during the month of Ramadan, for the most part, their level goes up. And that is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has made it easy for us to worship Allah in the month of Ramadan. And once again, I'll say, I know we've been feeling disconnected from the masjid. I know we've been feeling distant from the masjid, and without a doubt, that has an effect on our faith, because the masjid is part of our faith. The masjid is part of Islam. The masjid is actually an integral part of Islam. I've given many talks at ICM, actually, subhanAllah, on this very topic, how the masjid is so important to our faith. And so I know we've been feeling disconnected because of our you know, inability to regularly go to the masjid or go to the masjid in a way that we were going to the masjid before. And so now we can look forward to our iman being rejuvenated. We can look forward to our iman going up. We can look forward to the strengthening of our iman, even if we're not able to physically get to the masjid. And so the cure for 2020, the cure for, you know, this year that we've had, the difficult 2020 year, is inshallah ta'ala this month of Ramadan that is coming up. And it is amazing, subhanallah, we look back and we start to think about Allah's decree and Allah's wisdom, how at the very beginning of this pandemic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to reach the month of Ramadan. Allah allowed us to fast this month of Ramadan. And now for the second year, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that as now we're over a year now into this pandemic, that Allah has given us another opportunity. This is something, alhamdulillah, this is a blessing from Allah that we as believers, we have this month of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to make it possible that we are able to witness this month of Ramadan. And this hadith doesn't stop here, by the way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Lillahi fihi laylatun khayrun min alfi shahr," that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, certainly Allah has in this month a layla, a night that is better than 1,000 months. That there is a night of worship in this month that is worth 1,000 months of worship. There's reward in one night that is equivalent to the reward of 1,000 months. This doesn't happen outside of the month of Ramadan. This is specific and special to the month of Ramadan. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave us a warning. He said, "Man haruma khayraha faqad hurim," that the person who has been deprived of its goodness, they have truly been deprived. And that is why the companions and our scholars of the past and we till today, we make the dua, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, allow us to reach the month of Ramadan, because we desperately need every single point that is mentioned in this hadith of Abu Hurairah that I just quoted to you. Every single one of these points we are desperately in need of right now. And that is why we seek the month of Ramadan. That is why we try our best to get excited about the month of Ramadan. And if you're not feeling excited, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you excited. Then repeat this dua, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. This is an opportunity unlike other opportunities that we have during the year. We have the merits of the month of Ramadan. For example, one of my favorite hadith regarding the month of Ramadan is the hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the five daily prayers, salawatul khams, wal jum'a ila al jum'a, wa ramadan ila ramadan. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the five daily prayers, one jum'a to another jum'a, and one ramadan to another ramadan, is the expiation of our sins, or is the expiation of that which is between them, as long as a person stays away from the major sins. All of the sins that we don't think about, all of the sins that escape us, all of the sins that, you know, we don't make much of. And by the way, these sins, you know, the sins other than the major sins, what are sometimes called the minor sins, these are the sins which the Prophet ﷺ warned us about. He said regarding these sins, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْقَرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. He said, I warn you, beware of the sins that people don't think about, or that they belittle, that, you know, doesn't even, doesn't mean much to them, because it's a minor sin. Major sins, we do something bad, we understand it's a major sin, we're motivated to make tawbah, we're motivated to seek Allah's help, we say, Allah, forgive me for this sin, and, you know, we can take care of that. But the minor sins, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Iyyakum, he said, beware of these sins that people belittle. He said, the example of those sins is like the example of a people who come upon a valley, and they try to start a fire. And so they go out and search for something to build this fire with. And they go out and they don't find much. You know, maybe they found some leaves, a few twigs. Everyone goes out and they just, you know, everyone in the party, they all go out. One person brings one twig, another person brings another twig. One person brings a couple leaves, one person, you know, everyone brings something small, and they think to themselves, ah, it's nothing. It's nothing. And they put these small things together. But as people keep putting them, they keep piling up and they keep piling up and they keep piling up until they light this fire eventually, and the fire shoots up into the sky. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَإِنَّ مُحْقَرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ مَتَى يُؤْخَذُ بِهَا صَاحِبُهَا تُهْلِكُهُ. That these sins that people belittle, that they don't think much of, that when a person indulges in these sins, they will destroy this person. And so imagine, subhanAllah, how amazing it is that to enter the month of Ramadan, being freed of this burden of these sins, then now we have to focus on, I got to make sure I'm not committing any major sins. The glaring, big glaring problems, I got to take care of those, and the month of Ramadan will help me take care of those, whatever those problems are, whatever those issues are. But this is a time for me to be forgiven. We ask Allah to make that possible for the sins that the minor sins that, as I said, quote unquote, minor, you know, it's called minor, but they have serious implications on our spirituality and on our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, one of the merits of the month of Ramadan that I want to share with you is regarding our dua, and how this is a time when our dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثلاثة, there are three whose dua will not be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two of them, you might have heard of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-imam al-adil, he said, a just ruler or a just leader, wal-mazlum, and the person who is oppressed. That, and I want you to think about what this person goes through. The mazlum, the person who is oppressed, they're dealing with a lot of difficulty. They're oppressed. They're dealing with physical and emotional and psychological pain. And in that pain, when they make dua, their dua is sincere. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, this person's dua will not be rejected. Likewise, al-Imam al-Adil, the just leader. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say al-Imam, the Imam. Because you know what? A person can be a leader, but to be a just leader is difficult. Because to be a just leader means that there are plenty of people who are going to be upset at you. And this is not, our scholars say, this doesn't just apply to like the leader of the ummah or the leader of, or you know, you may think that the imam of the masjid. This is any person in any position of leadership, any position where they are in charge over other people, where they have responsibility, they take responsibility for other people. Anyone, even you know, a person, a father or a mother in their household, is an imam, is the leader in that household. And so to be just is to deal with hardship. They say, subhanallah, regarding you know being in positions of leadership, that people are never satisfied, that there are always people who are going to be unhappy with what you're doing. There's that famous story that I always think of that I think about, you know, regarding people in positions of leadership, about the father and son and the donkey. And I don't know if you've heard this tale before, the story before, this method, this example, but basically just to put it, you know, summarize it, the father and the son, they're riding, they have a donkey, they're going on a journey. They start off, you know, the father, he puts his son on the donkey and he says, you ride on the donkey and I'm going to walk next to you. And then people passing by, they look at this situation and they say, what kind of son is this? He's a terrible son. He's so ungrateful. He's making his father walk beside him, you know, terrible son. And so they hear this criticism and the son says, no, father, I want you to get on. So he makes his father sit on the donkey. And the son now walks on the side. And subhanAllah, now more people come, they see this from afar, and they say, look how terrible this father is. His young son, he's so young. He's he doesn't have that much energy. He's still young. This father's making him walk on the side. Look how he treats his children. You know, we're supposed to be kind and gentle towards our kids. And look, you know, he's making his son walk on the side while the father sits on the top. What kind of parenting is this? And now they hear this criticism and they say, you know, what are we going to do? You know what? We'll just both get off the donkey. And subhanAllah, they both get off the donkey and people come by and they say, oh, look at these two dummies. They have a donkey and they're not riding the donkey. You know, Allah has given them a means of transport and they're not taking the means of transport. And so they say, oh, what do we do now? So then they both get on the donkey and they say, okay, now everything should be fine. People still have a criticism. And you probably know what the criticism is. They say, look at this father and son. They're so oppressive towards the donkey. They put both of their weight upon the donkey. Instead of one person being on, they put both people on the donkey. Point of the story is people always have criticisms. And when a person, their aim is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above everyone else, that means there's always somebody who's going to be unhappy. There's always somebody who's going to be complaining. And so for this reason, or this is one of the reasons why when an imam is just, they go through this distress that Allah is with them. Not only that, but also their dua is not rejected by Allah. And you add to that those two lofty positions, right? The oppressed person, may Allah protect us, and the just ruler, the just leader. And what is the third? The third is someone who we all aim to be. And that is the Prophet ﷺ said, the person who is fasting until they break their fast. Can you imagine that whole time in our day that we are fasting, we have a dua that is not rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration of this hadith, by the way, the Prophet ﷺ, instead of saying as-sa'im hatta yuftir, the Prophet ﷺ said as-sa'im hina yuftir. That the sa'im, the person who is fasting, when they break their fast. So not until they break their fast, when either way, upon the breaking of a fast. And that is why when we break our fast, it is a good time to make dua. And by the way, the fiqh question, a little bit of a side note, I know I'm not teaching fiqh here, but just as a side fiqh note, people say, when Maghrib comes in, the time to break our fast, do we make dua and then break our fast, or what do? We break our fast and then we make dua. Unless it is before the time, then yes, we spend the time before Maghrib has come in to make dua, and that is a beautiful time to make dua as well. But we break our fast upon the breaking of the fast. Hayna yuftir, Parsadat said, upon, meaning the fast has to be, you have to be breaking the fast. You can say it alongside as you have the bite in your mouth at that time, because that is when you feel not only you're in that zone where you're still hungry, because you've now, you know, you haven't quenched your hunger, you haven't taken care of your hunger, it's just a bite. And also you are feeling the pleasure of breaking your fast. So you have both things to be grateful for, and that is an amazing spiritual time to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we are breaking our fast. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan in order, if it's nothing else, then just to be able to feel the joy of breaking our fast. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the person who fasts has two times of enjoyment, two times where they feel joy. Number one is when they break their fast, and number two is the reward that they get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward they will see on the Day of Judgment regarding this fast. Yes, that, but also, as we said, the breaking of the fast, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to witness that this year. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.